Good afternoon, everybody. This is SoCal Traffic Cast.
This is Edgar.
And this is Tim. We're coming at you live Wednesday, June 11th, 2008.
Woo!
How's traffic?
Traffic sucks. Yeah. We're back into traffic. We're back in the thick of things.
And I just want to start off the show with a reminder that if you are hearing this show through iTunes and you have not gone to Podomatic and gotten a new RSS feed for iTunes, subscribe through iTunes through Podomatic, soon you will not be getting the shows.
I know. This whole switching over. Too bad for the old server.
It's hard. And when the old server goes away, if you want old episodes and you have not been wise enough to download them onto your computer, you can contact us by email and we will sell you a CD.
Yes. For like...
price negotiable.
That means whatever you think.
Whatever you're willing to give us over the 39 cents it costs us to burn the CD and the 42 cents it costs us to ship it.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Give me your money.
Anything. No. Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get them all at the same place. Hopefully this server stays around. Automatic.
Well, you know, the thing is, we're cheap.
Yeah, of course. There's free services out there that get paid through advertising. So in other words, if they don't have any show, any content, they wouldn't be in the business. So we're doing really good. We're doing them a favor.
But, you know, I don't know. I have been looking for new good podcasts just to, you know, feature on the show, to listen to when we're not podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, something enjoyable, something fun, something that their last episode wasn't 2006.
Right.
And, you know, the podcast community right now, I hope the servers like Podomatic and iTunes and all of these groups, they start getting a clue and realize that if a podcast, if a show hasn't done anything for 2 years, it's time to pull them.
Well, I think so.
You just delete them off the face of the planet.
Yeah, make room. It's just like cleaning your computer.
Well, not only that.
All files, just get rid of it. You're not going to use it like anything else.
Right. Not only that, how do users find new shows that they want to watch or listen to for a while?
Yeah, well, that should be they should post that. Well, let us know.
If nothing else, they need to make the archive searchable by, you know, new. I want to search comedy shows that have had new shows in the next 30 days.
Yeah.
Because what happens is on iTunes, you go to comedy shows, and there's 1,500 comedy shows. 90% of them do not any longer record anything.
Yeah. So there has to be a... We should send them an email to iTunes, to Apple. Maybe there's enough...
Because they read their email?
I don't know.
How do you get through that? I think we'd be better off sending them a handwritten note through the snail mail. They might actually read it.
They might, know.
Wow, this is interesting.
Oh, somebody really wants a better search engine on their iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, the podcast websites, everyone I've been to, it's the same thing, you know?
Same format.
You can search a very wide spectrum. You get tons of results back, and you're filtering through this crap trying to find something that is current and relative and fun, and it's hard. And I'm not saying that we are it, because I'm not. At least we do a new show occasionally.
Yeah, we do. And we've been doing, not with the new technical, high-tech equipment stuff that we have now we actually do shows and be able to post shows. So that's been a big difference.
Well, yeah, we've skipped the whole editing process.
Yes, and iPod process.
And the iPod process.
And transferring process. It just goes one smooth process.
That's right. We record the show. We post the show. Occasionally, I get motivated enough to do some relevant notes for the show.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at that.
Yeah, you do some notes.
And I try and remember what we talked about, and I write them down.
Yeah. That's good.
Good for whom?
Hey, but I really have the hydrogen on the car. Really excited because we actually got a good test result back we got our second fill-up.
We had some measurable result.
Yep.
It just cleared the measurable result bar I had internally set in my mind.
Which was?
I said, if we don't get a more than 5% improvement, uh-huh. then I would say it's a placebic effect.
Yeah.
That it... That
is it placebo?
Placebo.
Oh, okay.
Like a placebo. Like
yeah.
It was, we installed the thing and we got a little better gas mileage, but that just could have been because deep in our brain we drove a little slower.
Yeah. We were nursing it.
Yeah, nursing it a little bit.
Now to have the air conditioner on.
But we did it. We did achieve better than 5%.
Yep.
We got 5.6%.
That's an improvement.
It's something. It's something. A beginning.
Hey, when you think about it, it costs $20 in parts. And it's water.
That's right.
And a jar of water.
That's right.
That's not bad.
Right. And on a normal tank of 400 gallons.
I mean 400 miles.
400 miles per yeah. tank. About 400 miles per tank. We usually fill up 17 gallons
yeah,
for
17
that.
Or 17
gallons
or something.
So we saved 5% of 17 gallons. So that's almost one whole gallon. 5.6% is almost one whole gallon of gas, which is $5.
Yeah.
So in four tanks full, we will have replaced the investment.
Pretty good.
So
big,
like,
it's big dollars right
that's
now.
That's right. That's right. In 2 weeks worth of driving,
yeah.
we will fulfill our financial obligation.
Hey, very nice.
Hey, man.
Yeah. And it's cool to say, my car partly runs in hydrogen. Huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are a hybrid vehicle.
Yeah. No, because the baseline was about 25 miles to the gallon, and we get like a little bit over 25 miles to the gallon. When you think about it that way, you go, hey.
Well, the base, 24
miles per gallon.
And then we got 25.6 miles
to the gallon. Exactly. Yes. They're much better at math.
The numbers thing.
Yeah. But, you know, you go, that's good for water. Again, it's water. That's all it is.
It's water in a applesauce jar.
Yep.
That's it.
And you can eat the applesauce.
Yes, you can.
And still use it.
You still, instead of throwing away the jar.
You don't throw that away.
You could get 5.6%
mm-hmm.
extra gas mileage.
Yeah.
And I bought some more parts today so that I could make another one.
Yeah, for your other car.
For one of my other cars, yeah. I said, eh.
Why not?
Hey, 5.6, yeah. I'll put it on this other car.
Yeah. But we're going to see in the next fuel up, you know, we're yeah. going to still keep good track of.
We've always kept good track of records. In addition to that, I am adding one element to it that I didn't do. And I know it needed, and hopefully I'll add that tonight. I'm adding the relay switch, which should send more power
to the hydrogen, and maybe change the maybe it's time to change the water too.
No.
No.
No, you don't change the water
until the water is gone.
Until the water's gone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah, until it gets too low.
Okay. And then fill it back up.
Yeah, we just let it go. We'll see what happens. But yeah, we're running good. The next thing. The next thing that a lot of these things talk about as far as increasing fuel economy, there's two other things that we can do. One of them is installing a water bucket, an electric pump, and a spray nozzle to inject water into the air intake that will provide steam in the combustion chamber.
Right.
So that's one thing we can do.
Kind of thins out the fuel. Basically.
Well, it increases the oxygen in the combustion chamber,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a turbo does.
Right.
There's another way to do that, where instead of injecting water in the intake, you actually inject water into the exhaust before the turbo. And what happens is that water instantly turns to steam and spins your turbo at a faster rate, providing more air to your intake system.
Bring it home.
Two ways to do it.
Bring it home. I can't wait. We're
going
to get to 26 miles to the gallon.
Hey, there's a guy claiming that on this exact car, same year, same model, same everything, that he is popping 60 miles per gallon out of this car.
No way. I think you mentioned that before.
I did. He does the conversions here in LA, actually, and then he sells the cars on eBay.
Oh.
and they've already got like the veggie oil conversion. They got all that stuff done to them.
Right.
And he sells them. You know, he sells them for like $7,000-$8,000.
Not bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 60 yeah. miles per gallon. Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
even get one. You can't even get a hybrid for that.
No,
I mean, for that fuel efficient, or even that. Forget the price. Just fuel efficient.
Yeah. Not at all. I mean. Yeah. One thing nice is that diesels are coming back to California.
Yeah.
So pretty soon you're going to be able to buy a Volkswagen diesel again. And it's not like the old Volkswagen diesel that every, you know, people are like, oh, you got to be, it's yeah. terrible. Yeah. These new diesels are so fuel efficient and so powerful that they get well over 50 miles per gallon.
Yeah, I heard 60.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, the European Volkswagen Jetta diesel gets 75 miles per gallon.
Holy.
But that's the European one, and, you know, it doesn't meet some weird, freakish California freak standard.
Right.
So they, it's not going to be here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe what they're doing to meet the California standards. I mean, they are, their exhaust system looks like a freaking chemistry set.
You know? That's how bad it is.
Yeah, because the exhaust comes out, and then it goes through effectively like a, similar to what your car has, a regular gas car has,
catalytic
converter.
Right.
And that strips it of
every
carbon place. Dioxide, and then it goes through a chemical process that turns something that's bad into nitrogen and water. And then that, and then it goes through something else that cools something down and does something else. And then
oh
goes
wow,
through.
It's a lot
it's
of
insane.
It's a lot of steps.
On the other front of this, you know, technology version is Jay Leno wrote a report on the BMW hydrogen car, all hydrogen car
mm-hmm.
that BMW gave him. You know, all the other car companies are going a lot of different ways, but BMW's focus has been to make a.
A safe hydrogen car.
A safe, fuel-efficient, practical hydrogen car that runs on an internal combustion engine.
Yeah.
So rather than turning everything into fuel cells.
Yeah.
Let's use our regular engine that we're all used to, we're all comfortable with, that there's billions of them out there already.
Right. Just
let's
get
just
a kit.
Convert the car to hydrogen.
Yeah, and put water in it.
And put water in it. Or water comes out of it.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that the hydrogen that goes into this car is pumped in at negative 495 degrees Celsius.
Ooh, that's cold.
Into a storage tank inside the car that is insulated so well that if you put a boiling cup of coffee in it, you could come back 1 week later and it would still burn you.
Oh, wow.
That's how well insulated the inside of this car, or the fuel tank is. And the interesting thing about it is that the hydrogen that goes in, even that well of insulation, is still evaporating.
Really?
Yeah, because hydrogen at liquid form, you know, obviously it's 500 degrees negative. You know, mm-hmm. below zero
right.
Celsius is its liquid form, where it's most condensed. And at that form, anything above that, it is evaporating. It's
oh.
boiling off, effectively. It's boiling and boiling
yeah,
away.
Yeah, so if you don't drive your car, it could be empty by the time you get back to it.
Exactly what he said. He said, you know, because of storage and pressure issues and stuff like that, is that as this is boiling off, the tank has to release the pressure of the hydrogen. And it's no big deal if you're a daily driver, but if you go on vacation for a week and a half, you could have filled your tank before you left, come back to an empty tank.
True.
Now, the one benefit of the BMW was it's a bi-fuel vehicle, so you can run on hydrogen, but if you can't find hydrogen, you just pump in some gasolina.
That's it. And you can mix it up together, it doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
Huh.
You run out of hydrogen. Now,
but where do he get the thing is, where do you get hydrogen? How much does it cost?
Well, and that's the problem. There is no infrastructure for hydrogen. BMW was going to Jay Leno's shop to fill up his car on a regular basis so he could drive it around.
Oh. And so he has hydrogen. But he has, you know, he's John Leno.
Well, he's Jay Leno. He gets whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. Did he say anything else? Mileage, anything? Or?
You get about 150 miles per tank. He did not go into current cost analysis of what that tank of hydrogen cost to fill up, which I bet was a pretty penny.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I mean,
just to take something, first of all, the process of generating hydrogen is difficult. I mean, we're doing it on a very small scale, supplementing our gas mileage at 5 or 6%.
Yeah.
So we're doing it. It's not that we're not. We're having success.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Now, but to generate it, split it, make sure one hydrogen and oxygen are not together, and then taking that bulk hydrogen, cooling it down to 500 degrees, negative 500 degrees Celsius.
Right.
And storing it and continuing to keep it that cold so it doesn't evaporate.
That's it, because you can get to wherever you need to go and you're empty.
That's right.
Yeah. It was full when I left.
That's got to be a costly process.
Yeah, that sounds very costly.
I mean, that seems ridiculous.
I think we should just run on air.
Well, like the French air car?
Yeah, something like that.
I like the concept. Basically, you can't think. We're not running on air. He's using air as an energy storage solution.
It's a compressor.
You compress the air, and that gives you. That's your energy. Is the compressed air? It took energy to put that air in there and compress it.
Yeah.
But you store the air.
Yeah.
You know, that car will run. I think the current form of that car with the engine, which the design of the engine is ingenious, and every gasoline engine should be redesigned with this. And he makes his car so it can be run on gasoline or air.
Right.
You know, again, it's kind of that same concept. That car's top speed, though, is only 45 miles per hour.
Oh,
kind of
slow.
But it will go 200 miles.
Wow, it's slow.
It is slow. Well, you know, the answer to that is you build a bigger engine, you know, whatever. And the car is extremely light. It's an all-carbon fiber car, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like a golf cart, street-legal golf cart. That's basically what it is. But he's using air purely as a energy transfer device. Mm. There's nothing wrong with using air. Currently, we use batteries. Batteries are heavy.
Yeah.
Right?
They're expensive.
They're expensive. They take up a lot of room in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be replaced frequently.
Often, yeah. They have a very short, actually very
short,
they're
short
actually
lifespan.
Short. Even if you say it's 2 years, that's short.
Where the only negative that the air has is the tank is going to take a lot of room on the car.
So maybe no back seat.
Maybe no back seat.
Yeah. Maybe a smaller trunk.
Yeah. You use it for commuter vehicles that are single-purpose commuter vehicles, two seats with a bunch of air tank.
Yeah, and just smaller people.
Well, so the French are smaller people.
Well, there you go.
They're always seem to be little.
We think.
Still got that cold there, huh?
Oh. Okay, I'm back.
That was nice.
I'm kind of back. Yes, I still have the radio voice. I'm still sick.
Hey, well, the AC's running better.
It is running better. Yesterday we had a little challenge. It just wasn't running really cold. The day before that, it was freezing in here. It's like, oh, Tim, you got to turn it down something. I'm just freezing. And then today's kind of more normal. There's some issues going on, but it's going to get fixed. MacGyver. Demi MacGyver. Got an answer.
I can't fix it if it's working.
Oh.
It's that constant conundrum. Don't bring me something that's broke some of the time. Wait until it's broke all of the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully we won't have to wait.
You know, because, I mean, it's working now. I don't even know what, you know. I might take off this panel so that if it stops working, maybe I can do something.
You put your hand in it and just make
MacGyver
the gears.
It while we're driving.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we don't need to stop. But, hey, what's for dinner?
I don't know. You know what? We had a great conversation today at lunch, and we were talking about what people's moms or dads or whatever, what their core dishes were when they were growing up.
Yeah, there's always a handful you want to say that you can just stand out.
Right. You have the staples. You know, you get spaghetti.
Yeah.
Right? And
you have rice.
You have rice dishes.
Yeah.
You
well, that's on my side. Rice. What are we having? Of course, rice.
What else?
Beans.
What kind of beans? Black beans? Brown
red
beans.
Red beans. Red beans.
Red beans and rice. Yes. Any meat?
Yeah, some meat. Chicken.
Chicken.
Pork chops. Yeah.
She didn't have a casserole dish?
Yeah, she had this, when she made beef, this beef stew type of thing that she just add stuff, not quite sure what it was, but it always had the same flavor.
Beef stew?
Yeah, it's kind of like a beef stew with potatoes.
Was it like soggy meat beef stew?
Yeah, soggy.
Ugh.
Yeah, soggy. Ugh. Beef.
We were talking about that today. I don't do soggy meat, and I don't do soggy bread.
Oh.
You keep
your I don't understand about... I don't see anything wrong with soggy beef. Soggy bread, yes. I mean, who wants soggy bread? Wet bread.
Like Carrie's family, they love French dips.
French dip?
You take a perfectly good bread, roast beef, some cheese, and now you dip it in
this
beef brine crap.
No, it's au jus.
And then you put this swelled up, soggy, wet, nasty thing in your mouth. Isn't that good?
Well, I do like, when I did eat beef, I did like French dip. But it has to be Italian bread. You can't just take Wonder Bread. It won't make it. Wonder Bread.
It's got to be,
it has to be Italian bread.
Yeah.
And toasted, preferred. And so you just quickly dunk, quickly in, out.
Well, and I think if they toasted the bread, it might be okay. But they use the grinder bread. French bread.
Yeah, French bread.
French bread. They use that.
Yeah, but there's
many. And they just make it, and then you just dip it. It's always wet.
But I'm talking about, like, real French bread. Not just a grinder bread.
You mean the stuff that comes in the paper bag that you could also use as a bat if you don't have one?
That's right. If you leave it long enough, it's going to get that hard. But I'm talking about fresh bread. That's the bread.
I can see it if you got a rock-hard bat to swing on that you can, like, cut that open.
No.
You know?
No.
You're cutting it with the saw.
Yeah. Well, you know, that bread is universal because it's great when it's fresh. You know, the next day you can make some good sandwiches and you can dip it and it's still good.
Well, because if you don't let it sit out there.
You don't let it sit there for, like, a minute, then eat it.
It was already hardened.
I don't know. You got to change bakeries or something where you get your bread. And then if you forget about the bread, then it's perfect for breading stuff. You save it. Gets all crunchy and it's breading. Make meatballs. You add that bread into it. Bread crumbs. It's just all around great.
Okay, so the key to soggy bread is start with hard bread. I get it now.
Not hard bread.
Well, toast bread is hard
bread.
Toast,
yeah, but it's doughy inside and everything. Meat inside, cheese.
I don't like it with ham. I just don't like it, Sam. I am.
So you don't like it to be soggy. I'm with you.
Well, the other soggy food I don't like is chicken noodle soup.
Chicken noodle soup.
And every time I say that, three women show up and say, "Not my chicken noodle soup. My chicken noodle soup is good. You're going to like it. I'm going to bring it for you. I'm going to bring you chicken noodle soup."
And they do.
And I'm like,
and they do.
I do not like chicken noodles. Please, please don't make me
eat
it.
Because it's the noodles.
Your soggy, swelled up noodle chicken noodle soup.
That's who they,
You know what I mean?
I don't make it like that. I don't make
it. And everybody says they
soggy.
Don't make it like that. Then
I
they
don't.
Bring me that. That's what they bring.
No, you just never had it when I made it.
You can't have noodles sitting in water for more than 5 minutes without them being overcooked.
Well,
I don't even care if the water's not hot. They absorb water. They get fat and flaky. And they get to the point where you put them in their mouth and they don't. You can't chew them. They just kind of mush.
Mushed into.
They don't even disintegrate. They don't disappear. They just mush. And you can't really feel them, but you can. They're just. Wrong.
There's something just wrong.
Nasty.
About it. Well, I try not to make mine like that.
Yeah, everybody says the same thing. They bring me their soggy-ass, nasty chicken noodle soup. If you can get past the noodles, let's say that somehow by miraculous form of diction, you figure out how to...
A form of diction.
You know, words are like facts, mostly made up. Even though I know diction's not a made-up word, but it's not. It's used inappropriately in this sense.
Okay, that's, yeah. Oh, all right, brother. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So let's say you can get past the noodles, or you've figured out some miraculous scientific method that they do not get overcooked, swelled up, nasty pus balls in your in your soup.
Right.
You still have the problem of the soggy chicken that you use to cook the soup. You can't get away from the fact you throw a raw chicken carcass in water and bake it on low, or cook it on low simmering water for 18 hours.
Well, mine takes about 6 hours, because I start off with the bones
for the purpose of
fun.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, okay.
Wait a minute, you don't eat it fresh. Nobody eats chicken noodles. It always ends up going in the fridge where it gets the grease gel on the top of it.
Oh.
You know, it's all the gel nasty, and then they go, here's your chicken noodle soup all cold and nasty with the grease gel.
Man, you gotta go to someone else's house.
Like,
that must be
here,
it.
Eat this. Here's some crackers. Keep your chicken noodle soup nasty.
Okay, so I get this, Tim. You don't like chicken noodle soup.
No.
I understand.
Not a fan of the chicken noodle.
Yeah. But you like what's that called? The garbanzo beans that get crushed up and you eat it with bread. What is that?
Hummus. Hummus is good stuff. You basically, garbanzo beans, you know, they're just like a neutral food. So you go ahead and you flavor the hummus to taste.
Uh-huh.
But it's not so much the hummus, it's the vehicle in which the hummus is delivered to the mouth.
The flatbread.
Oh.
Bring in the bread.
You got the garlic fat bread and the plain fat bread and the parmesan flat bread.
Does your mama make hummus?
No.
No?
No, that was a post... Living with mom at home.
Yeah. My mom would make it, but not... It wouldn't be hummus. It would just be just those beans. And I think she would make it just to punish us.
That's why you don't like it. You had the unflavored hummus.
Yeah, it was just...
But you're meant to flavor it, you know? The unflavored hummus. You put something in it.
She would put something in it, but nobody liked it.
Lemons or parmesan cheese.
And nobody would eat
salt?
It.
Salt?
No, she added ingredients to it. But you would think, every time she make it, no one would eat it. No one. It end up dry.
Get the hint occasionally, right?
Yeah. And just sit there.
You know what my mom really made that I don't get often that I really like? She made lemon pepper chicken.
Lemon pepper chicken. Well, that's good.
Now, we make lemon pepper chicken at the house.
Uh-huh.
But we don't make it. The way my mom made it is she made it in a casserole dish with rice at the bottom of it. That was lemon pepper chicken, too.
Oh.
Or lemon pepper, too. So
did she bake it?
She baked it and got it all cooked, and the rice was just, you know, the top ones were a little crispy and the bottom ones were...
Did she add a little breadcrumb too?
No breadcrumb,
no?
Just
a little
butter and
butter.
lemon pepper.
And
the chicken. Yeah, and then so you get your chicken, and you know, it wasn't right unless you weren't picking rice off the chicken.
Yeah.
You know?
It just went with it. It just goes with it.
So, like, they make lemon pepper chicken, Carrie's family does, but they do it, like, on the barbecue. With no rice. And no baking.
Yeah, no sides.
No. Yeah, well, they have sides, but it's not. Or
not together.
You want it with rice. Okay, they make rice. No, it's got to, you got to have the chicken grease
in the
rice.
Yeah.
The butter and the lemon.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You got the stuff going on.
Bring it on.
And then my mom made the best American tacos ever. Americano.
They had to be, because she's... I can't say they're authentic.
Because she's like German.
Hey, the Tims are having tacos. We got to go.
Oh.
American cheese.
Yes, absolutely. No. No, cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese. Oh.
Cheddar cheese.
Very authentic.
That's not authentic.
Well, it's better than
American. It's American authentic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Because they use a white cheese or something.
Yeah, they use white cheese. Or they no cheese. I mean, you never see cheese on authentic tacos.
Oh, see.
I've never seen cheese.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go to get the little, you know.
Unless it's like happy hour or something.
Carne asada tacos or whatever.
There's cheese available.
So, my mom would make, you know.
Hard shell tacos.
Plain ground beef.
Uh-huh.
Rosarita refried beans.
Uh-huh.
Right? And combine that. And then lettuce, onions, tomatoes, and cheese. Always the cheese. Cheese was the key.
Sour cream, guacamole.
That's right. La Victoria salsa.
Wow.
Yeah. The green one, sometimes in the tall bottle, sometimes the chunky stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And then here, the piece de resistance.
Uh-huh.
The fried corn tortillas.
Not
the store-bought hard shell nasty things,
but
fresh corn tortillas, a bowling iron skillet of grease, right, and flash fried. You just put them in there for a second. You take them out. You salt them a little bit, dampen them, wipe off a little
that
grease.
Wow, that is authentic.
Man.
I mean, you had me going there. I mean, with the bottle salsa and the you know, those other ingredients there with the Rosarita beans.
Yeah.
Now
the fried corn tortillas, man.
But that
made
right
it.
There. Yeah, made it all the way to.
Made it. Woo. I could eat those all night long.
Oh.
Until there was no more tortillas, I'd keep eating. It didn't matter if you ran out of other items. Like, we ran out of lettuce. I don't care. Keep going.
Just keep doing it.
Oh, we ran out of meat. I don't care. I can still make fried corn tortilla and cheese.
That's right.
That's good. Run out of cheese. That's okay. Just fry up that corn tortilla. We'll put a little sugar and cinnamon on it. Woo! That's good.
It's all purpose.
That's right, man.
Man.
The tortillas are gone. Oh, damn. I guess I'm done.
Yeah. But didn't she also make those German...
cabbage burgers.
Cabbage burgers. And there's cabbage in those burgers, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You know how some... some dishes don't have what they say they have. That sounds like one of those dishes. Like they might not actually. They're just called that.
Oh yeah. No. Now cabbage burgers are good. They're difficult to describe, and people don't think they sound good when you describe them.
Yeah.
Someday I'll make them turkey burgers for you, so you.
Oh
can
yeah,
eat
that
them.
Would be good.
Because I know you don't eat the red meat.
Right.
Whatever your mom did to you as a child, I don't know, beat you with a side of beef or something, get you turned off the red meat. Or not red meat, but, I mean, beef in general.
Yeah, beef. Yeah, no beef.
You eat red, as long as it's crushed up in a sausage and it's pork.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, if it's red pork sausage, I'm good.
Yeah, good. Fine. So, yeah, and then other people were saying that with their family made. Now, our family makes cabbage burgers with ground beef and cabbage, and you cook that up, and then you roll out some bread dough, and you fold the bread dough over and make little like hot pockets.
Uh-huh.
Like hot pockets.
Yeah.
You know, and they're really good. And I finally found somebody else in the world that they made these, and Gloria did, but her mom made them with no meat in them, just all cabbage, just stuffed it with cabbage.
Oh, yeah. And she said it was delicious.
She said it was great. She liked it until she tasted mine, and it had meat in it. And she said, oh, my God, meat just makes it so much better. Because her mom made it for Lent.
Yeah.
See, because she was the Catholic German.
Mm-hmm.
We were the Lutheran German.
Yeah.
We defected from Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
You know, Luther was the one that said, nah, these Catholic people are wrong.
Yeah, we need meat.
We need meat. It ain't nothing to do with meat.
Yeah. It goes back to my Greek fat wedding. I know I talked about it a couple of shows ago.
My big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah. Say, you don't eat no meat. It's okay. I'll make you lamb.
It's okay. No problem.
You have lamb.
Oh, your shoulder hurts. Here's some Windex.
There you go.
Spray you down with some Windex. You'll be all right. It'll be all good.
Yeah.
Hey.
Whoa.
And it's weird because, you know, where we work, a significant percentage of the people that we work with are Mexican.
Yeah.
Probably like 80%.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And so, but, you know, there's not a lot of diversity in what they made.
As you far know, as the normal.
It seems like everybody, well, made chili rellenos and
yeah,
tacos.
Yeah, those were good today, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I did have some.
Mm. You know what? You can't mess up a chili relleno. What do you got?
I don't know.
Fried bread and cheese. And then you got the chili in there to hold it all together.
I don't know. I think you can mess anything up. It's just the way it's cooked. Maria there, our lovely cleaning lady, she's just wonderful.
You know,
man,
she's
awesome.
It constantly blows me away that many times the nicest people that you ever meet, the most generous people that you ever meet, are probably the most underpaid people that you ever meet.
Yeah.
She is, I don't know, I don't even care what they pay her. They probably pay her pretty well because she's been there for a long time.
Right, yeah.
She didn't get paid enough.
Yeah.
She's just too awesome.
Yeah, she is. She's on top of it. Takes so much pride in what she does.
That's right.
I've told her, but she's an inspiration, you can say.
Yeah.
I look at her and I go, I better get to work.
Yeah.
You know?
What am I doing? So, and she's always bringing in stuff. And, like, if you work with her on a Saturday, she always brings in food.
Oh, yeah, she was asking, hey, because she knows we're working this weekend. She goes, hey, what are we going to do this Saturday?
Oh.
We're going to do something.
Well, she's working this week. We got to make sure we make sure she gets something because she brings in. She never eats. I never see her eat.
Yeah, she doesn't.
No, she just brings it in for everybody
Maybe
else.
Maybe we should do what we did, like, when I brought in the eggs and you brought something in, just went to the grocery store and just cooked all that stuff.
We'll just check and see what manager's working this weekend.
Yeah, that's important. Depends. Yeah, that's right.
So.
It might go from a full-on, you know, bacon and eggs and cereal and all the orange juice to, well, here's some donuts.
Who's first this weekend?
I don't know. Probably you. You're always first.
No. Probably you.
I don't know. I'm kind of hungry.
I don't know. There's a 60% chance it's you or I. Since there's three people on and we both work.
Uh-huh.
So it always works out that way.
Okay, I can't wait till I get home and eat, so.
Yeah, we better wrap this show up. It's kind of going a little bit long anyway. Just a reminder, please go to www.socaltrafficcast.com, which will redirect you to Podomatic, which will allow you to get the new RSS feed. If you want to check out the old shows, download them to save them to your archive. You may be having trouble finding them now. You can find them at www.mypodcast.socaltrafficcast.com.
Okay.
And I guess that'll do it for us today. We'll wrap it up. That's been
Edgar.
And this is Tim. And we out of here.